It's amazing how God works in supernatural measure beyond anything that we could ever ask or think. And He's just doing great things in this hour as we begin to arise and step out in faith for Him. And we are vessels. I was just thinking about this the other day. We are vessels. We are vessels. We are vessels of His glory. We house the Spirit of God within our mortal beings. And the measure by which we pour out is the measure by which He pours back. You see, we are vessels. And we are vessels of honor. We are vessels of glory. And we are here to speak supernatural, just supernatural things into existence. We speak life and we speak, there's power in our tongue. And so we have the ability to produce life when we speak life. And God is just doing a supernatural work right now in me. And there are things that have been broken off by the power and the Spirit of God that no man, it was, you know, God works through men. We need men. We need men and women of God to speak the Word of God over us, to speak life over us, to speak deliverance over us, to break the chains and the bondage, the things that are holding us back. But we also do, there's something, you know, we have a part to play in this. We can't just always be looking to someone else to give us what we need. We have to submit to God, and we have to say, you know, Lord Jesus, do what it is that You want to do in and through me. Just illuminate me. Bring Your light into my heart, into my soul, into my mind, that I may flow pure. That I may be a vessel that will be a vessel of honor for You. A pure flow, a holy river, rivers of living water flowing from our bellies. And so He wants to break things off. He wants to destroy the strongholds, destroy the yokes, destroy oppression, destroy the religious thinking and the way of doing and the way we're so used to doing things. And He just wants us to walk free. And He just wants us to walk free in Him and know that, you know what? He's gonna catch us. He's there for us. When we take that leap of faith, He is going to be there for us. And we're going to see miracles. I already see miracles in the spirit. I see things. God shows me things in the spirit. I don't have open visions like other people may have open visions. The visions are more in the spirit. And He shows me things in the spirit. And see, the spirit is so much more advanced than the soul. And your spirit is ready to take off. Your spirit is ready to go to the nations. But your soul and your mind and your body have to come into alignment with certain things. If you go to the nations and you are messed up in your mind, there's you may end up doing more damage than good. And so God wants to renew your mind, renew your soul, renew your body, renew your strength. And He wants to help you get wisdom and knowledge and understanding in all things. So there's areas in your soul, in your emotions, in your mind. He wants to go into those areas. He wants to flood them. I told the Lord, I said, flood my soul, flood my mind, flood my heart, every area in me with the light of God, with the light of Jesus, with the light of Christ, with the Holy Spirit. Just fill me to overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will only flow to the degree that you allow Him to flow through you. And if you are not fully submitted in your mind, in your will, in your emotions, in your soul, to the Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit that He wants to flow through you, you are not going to flow as freely as someone who is completely and absolutely submitted to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God wants to move in you, and it isn't about you, and you've got to release this mentality of what people think and what people will say. Because listen, you've got to submit yourself to Jesus, and you've got to say, Jesus, I know that you want me to go into these places. Now, Jesus, fill me with understanding. Fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your understanding. Fill me with truth. And He will fill you. But you need to begin to read, learn, study. But as you go, you also need to preach, teach. Thank God. I just thank Him every day. I glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is exalted. He is high and lifted up in my heart, in my life, in my mind. He is all that I think about. I think about Jesus. I think about serving Jesus. I think about doing things for Jesus. I go into the grocery store. I see people and I think, you know, that person needs a word. And there's times that you grieve the Holy Spirit and you do not give that person a word. I seen a man today in the store and I thought, wow, that's a preacher. He's a man of God. He will be used mightily of God. And, you know, we need to use wisdom, of course, when we speak a word over somebody. Because it can be a snare. Because, you know, if you speak a word out of season into a person's life and they say, you know, and they're not ready to handle that, they could go off and do something silly and just get off and just wild because they feel like they've got this, it's more of a burden than something that they even want to do. And so you have to use wisdom. But you need to speak into people's lives, even if it is at a distance. And you need to draw the gold, pull the gold out of these people. Because a lot of people are just walking around wondering who they are. They don't know who they are. They've never been told who they are. They don't know the Word of God. They don't hear the Word of God. And they don't know who they are in Christ. And they don't know that God wants to use them. And so you need to begin to speak. And you need to begin to call forth things that be not as though they were. And you're God's mouthpiece. And so you need to begin to also put a guard around your mouth. And the things that you used to say and the criticisms and the things that caused people to stumble, you need to begin to stop saying critical things to people and telling them how bad they are, and you need to begin to release the Word of God over people, and you need to begin to release the blessings of God over people, and you need to declare the goodness of God over people. And I'm beginning to see this in my life. I'm beginning to see how powerful the positive declarations, even if you're around, even if everyone around you is speaking death, is speaking hell, is speaking damnation, you speak life, because your words, they are spirit and they are life, and they breathe life, and life is produced, and life is at work. You know, the enemy worked for years and years and years on my mouth, and the things that I said whenever God would wake me up and show me, this is not what you need to be saying. Okay, you need to change your mouth. You need to begin to release blessings and peace and prosperity and goodness and mercy and grace. And you need to begin to release those things. And so he began to show me that I needed to change my words and change my mouth. And all of a sudden, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus rules and reigns over this house. Jesus rules and reigns over my heart. Jesus rules and reigns over this city. What do you mean you're putting in a, you know, something across the street from my business that is not of God? No, that place cannot stay. In Jesus rules and reigns in this place, and that place cannot stay in the name of Jesus. And we just begin to declare the blessings of God and the goodness of God and how merciful He is to us. And, but we also, that's a seed. We're producing things with our words. We're producing things with our words. They produce life or death. And we're eating the fruit of our own words. And then there's another thing that God wanted to do. And you know, when you get born again and you make Jesus Lord, the things happen, okay? You don't live like you used to live, but you begin to, for example, when you begin to, when you're saved, you realize, okay, nothing I have belongs to me. It all belongs to God. It's Jesus's. But really, God doesn't need, you know, anything that you have. He is the creator of the universe. Everything belongs to Him, whether people know it or not. We're all going to go back to dust. It's all just, you know, we're just a body. We're just a vessel. And so, but what we do with our time, what we do with our money, what we do with the things that God has given us, how He has entrusted us to certain things, and how we use those things, and how we spend our time, and how we spend our money, and is so important for the kingdom, because I don't think people realize it. When I got born again in 2003, something happened. It was so weird because God gave me this vision of the kingdom, and it was so much greater than what anything that I had ever heard any preacher talk about, any person discuss. He showed me the kingdom and how powerful and huge the kingdom was. And he gave me a vision, actually, in the sky in 2008. And he said, I have inducted you into the kingdom of God, into the army of God. And at this point, I had no idea what that meant. But all I could see was clouds from one end of the sky to the other. And I could not see the end of this mighty army of God. And he showed me the angel Gabriel, and he showed me the sword, and he said, I'm going to put, this angel is going to be the angel that I have assigned to you to go where I send you. And he showed me in the sky, and then there was this flash of red, and I said, Lord, what is that? And he said, this is my blood. And I realized the vastness of the kingdom. And I realized I'm a part of this kingdom. But I wasn't quite sure what exactly I was supposed, you know, I did hear from God. He said he was sending me forth to preach the gospel. He gave me a prophetic word. He spoke to me, and he said, after a tornado blew through our town, absolutely demolished our community, Jesus, Holy Spirit, spoke, and he said, wake up, my people. I have cried out to you with a voice of thunder. Salvation is at hand. Chains are being broken. Strongholds must go. There is no room for the clutter. Confusion will turn to understanding, and sadness will be joy. Do not despair. I am sending you forth to preach the gospel. Deliverance is here. Salvation is here. Chains are being broken. Strongholds must go. Confusion will turn to understanding, and sadness will be joy. Do not despair. I am sending you forth to preach the gospel. Do not look to any other for strength. What I have to give you is more than you have ever received. Become my vessel. I will use you to reveal my glory. I am your God, and you are my people. And this was a powerful word in the midst of devastation, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of chaos and confusion. He spoke that word. And let me tell you, I have seen the word that he spoke over me come to pass in my life. I have seen how God has come, and he is broken, and he is destroyed, and he has the strongholds, the chains, the oppression, and the things that he has broken and destroyed off of my life that were not of him. And now he is developing. He is developing the character and nature of Christ in his body, in his people, in his vessel. The ones who are submitted to him, the ones who are saying, yes, I will go. Yes, Lord, I will submit to you. I will submit everything. I will submit my soul. I will submit my body. I will submit myself over to your lordship. I give you everything that I have. I make you Lord over my life. And then I had another encounter with Jesus when Curry Blake came to Arkansas and he preached this message of deliverance and this message of who we are in Christ, the new man. And I had a total transformation in my soul and in my mind of who I was and the lies that I had believed as a child, as an adult, were vanished. They were gone. They were absolutely gone. Do you understand? They were gone. And I had to begin to walk. I had to begin to walk as a son. I had to begin to walk as a new creation. I was made new at the new birth in 2003. Excuse me. God made my spirit new. In 2003, when I was born again, my spirit was new. My spirit was born again. Let me tell you something. My soul was messed up. My mind was messed up. My heart was messed up. My emotions were messed up. And I heard from God. And I through this man of God that came and he laid hands on me. There were bondages. There was demonic oppression that was destroyed, that was broken off of my life. And God used him to do that. And he used a man in 2003 to do that, to bring me back to him, to save my soul from eternal damnation. And he is using men. He is using men and women that are submitting their will to the will of the Father. And he is using them. As they submit to him, as they say, I make you Lord. You are Lord. Jesus is Lord. And listen, okay, I heard the new man in 2011. Bam, instantly changed, quit my job, things are all around me. It looks like a tornado is swirling around me. And in my soul and my mind, I had already made up my mind. God, this is it. I've got to go. I've got to do what you've called me to do. I have been sitting on the back burner for too long. I've been sitting waiting for something to happen. And you are calling me forth. And so in 2011, he came. I quit my job. And a supernatural favor, even though there was unrest and uneasiness in my home, supernatural favor came to me as I began to put God absolutely first. And I said, God, I'm going to serve you. I don't care how. And I was like a mad woman. I was like a demon-possessed woman, but I was possessed with the Holy Spirit. And I said, God, I need you to use me. You need to use me. At that point, I was ready to leave everything. I was ready to move to Dallas. I was ready to start working for God. But there were some things that God had to line up. There were some things that God had to make right in my soul, in my mind, in my emotions, and with my family. And so But he's seen my heart. He's seen my willingness to serve. And I began to call people every day. I would call at least 20, 25 people on the phone. And I was doing this. And I was calling people and praying for people and praying for the sick. And just God put that in my soul to want to do that. And I wanted to serve him. And I just wanted to do everything that I could for King Jesus. So he showed me. He showed me that I was really doing all these things, but really it was more for recognition. I think God really showed me it was more for recognition from a man. And so so in 2013 I was in Plano and I was at JGLM at a DHT. And I was at this point, my soul, there were things that were going on in my life with my family. There was unrest. There was uneasiness. There was trouble on every side. And, you know, when we begin to work for the Lord and we begin to do things for God, there are going to be people that are not going to like that. And the enemy works overtime to use people that are closest to you to try to bring you down, to try to bring you discouragement. And I was at a place of discouragement, and I was praying and praying and praying and doing everything that I could do. But still, there was a place of discouragement in my soul and in my emotions. And I went to Plano and did a DHT. And I was almost paralyzed because of this discouragement. And I was asked to go eat with Curry Blake and some missionaries from Mexico. Well, you know, here I was, you know, just, you know, running at the mouth, just 100 to nothing, you know, just telling everything, you know. And so, but God showed the man of God, Curry Blake, he showed him some things in my soul and in my body and in my mind. And I know that in my heart, I know that he went back and he fought in the Spirit, by the Spirit of God, for my soul, for my soul. And so, I had this revelation of who God was for me. And I went home and the Lord spoke to me after that DHT, after God showed that man of God, after God used him to bring deliverance to me. And so I went home and God just spoke to me very clearly, very clearly. It was in the Spirit. And when he speaks in the Spirit is so much more advanced than the soul. But this, I mean, he could say, you know, one thing and it'd be like a million things. I mean, it's so complicated. And so, like, he asks me this simple question. God does. And Jesus, they're one. And through the power of the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, Maria, am I your Lord? And I said, yes, Lord, you're my Lord. Look at what all I am doing for you. I'm calling people every day. I speak to at least 25 to 30 people every day on the phone. I minister to as many people as I can. And he said, and he said, many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not do these great and mighty works? And I will say unto them, depart from me, you who work iniquity, for I never knew you. And I said, but Lord, what do you mean? And he said, he said, how can I be Lord over your family if I'm not Lord over you? How can I be Lord over your city if I'm not Lord over you? He said, how can I be Lord over your nation if I'm not Lord over you? And he said, how can I be Lord over the nations if I'm not Lord over you? And I said, but Lord, I'm speaking these declarations and I'm declaring these confessions, and Curry Blake gave me these, and he said, no. He said, and then he showed me immediately he showed me the altars of vain worship that I had built up for a man. And it was almost as if God was showing me those altars of vain worship that I had built for a man. And not just Curry Blake, but people around me, people that I held to a higher standard than doing the will of God. People like my husband, my family, my children. And he showed me these altars of worship that I had built for them, and how I had placed what they thought and what they wanted and what they wanted me to do over what God had called me to do. And he said, I'm just breaking down. I'm destroying those altars of worship. And he showed me walls that I had built around my heart because I had been so grieved. I'd been so rejected. I had been so beat down and discouraged and depressed. And I had built walls around my heart. And he said, you built these walls around your heart. And I can't even come into your heart fully. I'm not fully your Lord because you've built these walls around your heart, and it's causing me to there's a resistance there to the Lordship of Jesus, and you need to make me Lord over your life. And I said, Lord, I said, what does it look like to make you Lord? And he showed me. He showed me Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he showed me Jesus. And he showed me how Jesus was going to pray, and he told his disciples, wait here while I go to pray. And his soul was, it says that his soul was sorrowful to the point of death. And he even knelt down, and there was tears of blood, drops of blood. There was so much anguish in his soul. And I do believe that Jesus died a death that day. But ultimately, he surrendered his will over to the will of the Father. And he said, God, if you would, let this cup pass from me. And then he said, but not my will, but thine be done. And that was at that point he suffered. I do believe there was a death. There was a death to himself, and he knew the anguish, the suffering that he would endure on the cross, and he died a death that day. And the death that he died was the death that we need to die. And there was this complete surrender of his will over to the will of God. And there is a surrender. There is a complete surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. There is a surrender of our will over to the will of God. And it is something that we have to physically and spiritually do in our lives. And you see, not everybody's going to walk that walk. Not everybody's going to be able to take the beatings, take the lashings, take the whippings, take the abuse, take the sufferings that we've had to endure. I'm not saying that we have to endure certain things. I am saying that it talks about us delighting and even in the fellowship of our sufferings with Christ. I wish I had something in my brain that would pull up the scripture verse and the chapter in the book and everything. But there's a certain amount of suffering in our soul, and there's a certain amount of anguish, and there's a certain amount of persecution that we're going to have to endure as Christians. And if we cannot endure the sufferings that are coming at us now through family members, through friends, through close acquaintances, if we cannot endure those lashings, what's going to happen when things really start to heat up as we're seeing now, and people around the world are losing their lives for the sake of the gospel, and people around the world are being physically beaten and abused and beheaded for the sake of the gospel, what is going to happen when that persecution comes here and we're not going to be able to endure it because we didn't have what it took, the perseverance to stand in faith, knowing that God is in us and God is for us. And see, I hadn't made Jesus Lord. I thought I made Jesus Lord when I became saved and born again, but I did not make Jesus Lord. When you make Jesus Lord, your whole life begins to change, and your whole attitude begins to change, and you begin to see things as he sees things, and you begin to see people as he sees people, and you stop with the criticisms, and you stop with the judgments, and you stop with the speaking death, and you start to speak life, and you speak life to people, and you're a vessel that's going to be used by his glory. As long as you begin to change your mind, as long as you begin to change your words, as long as you begin to change how you react to situations, how you react to adversity, how you react to persecution, even if it is through family members. But I just thank God for the message of God that Curry Blake brought into my life. And he spoke into my life. And he spoke life into my life. And he spoke life into my family, and he spoke life into my children. And we need to be releasing the same life. We need to be releasing the same blessings. We need to be vessels that are going to be used from God, for God, for his glory to be revealed in us. And we need to actively and consciously make decisions to change. And yes, the Spirit of God changes us. But like I said before, we have to physically do things. We have to go out of our way to not look like the world, to not sound like the world, to not seek after the things of the flesh, but to seek after the things of God, to be actively obedient to God, to go into a grocery store, to speak change into people's bodies, to speak life into people's souls, to bring them into the knowledge of Christ, to bring them into the salvation of Christ. And the more submitted to God we are, the more we do those things freely, and it just comes out. It flows. It's just natural. It just comes out. And God has something to speak for people, and it comes out of you, and He uses you, and you're His vessel, and you're His mouthpiece. And so we have to be sure that we're speaking life, and we're speaking goodness, we're speaking mercy. And let me tell you, this has been supernatural, okay? In the amount of time that it took some people to gain this understanding, right now it is not taking us as long to gain an understanding of this and walk in this freely, because there's little time left. And the time is short now. The time is short. And so we have to begin to walk as sons of God, fully manifested sons of God. And so we need to see this come to pass in our life. And as you begin to speak those words will come to pass, and your life will be a light, and your life will shine, and your life will speak volumes to people around you. And I was just thanking God every day. I was thanking Him, and I was just thinking, because when you make Him Lord, literally, it's like there's a throne room in your heart, and He is at the throne. If you can envision a throne in your heart, and if you can envision the people that you have placed on that throne, the ministers that you have placed on that throne, the family members that you have placed on that throne, and He's going to show you those things, see, when you make Him Lord. And those things aren't at the throne room of your heart anymore, because Jesus is at the throne room of your heart. And so, because He is at the throne room of your heart, you're actively obedient to Him. And to be disobedient to Him is very hard. And when you see someone and you don't speak that word that God wants them to hear, you think, oh man, you leave and you just feel bad. But let me tell you something. You don't have to feel bad. Okay? Okay. I was using my GPS the other day. I was going to minister to some people. And I was driving down some, you know, pretty shady parts of Arkansas. And my GPS was taking me down some pretty rough roads. And I found out the woman that I was going to her house to minister to called me. And just before I got off this dirt road, and she called me and she said, don't take that road. That's Zinc Road. That road right there is where the Ku Klux Klan leader lives. And she said, don't you dare take that road. They will shoot you down. They've got crosses in their yard, and all these things. And so immediately, by her voice and the way she sounded, and it was like, oh no, no one dares to go down that road. No one dares to touch that those people. And immediately there was like fear in my soul. And I thought, oh, what am I doing here? I can't turn off this road. And immediately I went the other direction that she told me to go. But as I was driving down this road, listen, there's boldness. It says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And something happened to me after I heard this message by Curry Blake. And man, I was endued with this supernatural power. And I had this boldness to declare the things of God. And so I was driving. I went off the other direction that the woman told me to go. And I was just declaring over the property, all the properties. I was just declaring, Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. I was speaking in tongues. I was warfaring in the spirit. I was in another place in the spirit. Nothing. There was no devil in hell that was greater than the Spirit of God in me. The Spirit of God in me rose up out of me. I began to declare the mercy of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. I began to shakatarayena masita. I began to speak in tongues. I began to cast down vain imaginations. I began to tell those demonic principalities that they had to flee, because a child of God, a son of God, was in that region, and the greatest spirit that was going to rule over that place was going to be the Spirit of God. And I began to declare over the highways, over the byways, over territories, as I was driving in my car, and I said, yes, you will serve the Lord. Yes, you will obey the voice and word of God. Yes, you will go forth with power and authority in the name of Jesus. And I began to see press releases coming out, news releases coming out. People were being arrested that were sexually molesting teenagers that were associated with the Ku Klux Klan. And I began to see the prayers of faithful men and women of God who have prayed and stood against this discrimination and this lie of the enemy, this falseness. And we need to begin to declare over regions, over territories, over nations, over people groups. And I wanted to go to the nations. I said, God, I need to go to the nations. I've called to the nations. He spoke to me and he said, I've called you as a prophet to the nations. And I began to see the little world that I live in and this state that I live in. And he showed me the nations. And he said, nations, there are nations is just a people group. Nations is different peoples and all peoples. They are the nations. And you live in Arkansas, but you live around the nations. You have the nations. It is here. And you got to go to the nations, even if it is 2 hours from your house. And go to the nations. And he sent me to the nations. He sent me to the highways. He sent me to the byways. He sent me to the poor. He sent me to the beat down. He sent me to the destruction, to the discouraged. And he said that he sent me to these places. And it's just been the mercy of God, the grace of God has been upon my life so that I can go into those territories, so that I could go into those regions, so that I could go into those people groups, into the nations. And I could see the nation shift. I could see the nations change for the glory of God. And he's going to begin to release even rivers out of your belly. And you seen that man in that store. You didn't say that word to that man. But let me tell you, you have the power. You get in your car and you say, God, I don't know who that man was. I may not have spoken a word to that man, but right now, I speak the word over that man. And that's what Curry Blake did for me. And he went into his office and he was fighting in the spirit and he was casting down these things that he's seen, and he destroyed the works of darkness over my life. And God absolutely set me free because of his prayers. And that's what you do. You go forth, you speak the word, you speak the word with boldness, you speak the word with power. You will see nations, people groups, things change. You will see things around you change. But I'm telling you, there's people that are waiting for their families to change. There's people that are waiting for things to change around them. And they're saying, God, I don't have the money. I don't have the spouse. I don't have the support from my local pastor. But let me tell you, something. Mark 16:15 is your commissioning. Mark 16:15 is your sending out. And God said that he was sending you out in the name of Jesus to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And he's called you forth as a warrior, of God to the nations. And your voice, is going to radiate, is going to illuminate the darkness. Your voice is going to bring forth light. It's going to bring forth illumination, and you're not going to be, worried about going into the Ku Klux Klan territory, going into the drug lord's territory, going into the mafia's territory. You're not going to be worried about the enemy and what he is doing, because the power of God in you, the voice of God in you, is greater than the work and the voice of the enemy and the accuser right now in Jesus's name. If we knew who we were, we would be going into territories. We would be destroying the works of darkness. And as I was saying before, a lot of people are waiting. They're waiting. They're waiting. It's like before you get married and you're waiting. You're waiting. Well, you know, I don't think I have enough money. I don't think I'm ready. I don't know if this is the one that I want to marry. But you've got to make a decision today to make Jesus Lord. And when you make that decision, I'm telling you, it will cost you your life. And it cost Jesus his life. And there's a grave. And there's a death to yourself. And you don't live under the accolades of man, but you have made him Lord. You have married him. You have moved into a covenant relationship. And you know that as you have made him Lord, then everywhere he sends you is divine appointments await you. Await you. There are people that are dying that need to hear the word of God come out of your mouth. But you've made your family your Lord. You've made your children your Lord. You've made your husband your Lord. You've made them Lord over your life. But God, right now, Jesus, right now, he wants you to submit to him. He wants you to make him Lord. He wants you to say, Lord, I don't care what this costs. Lord, I may not have the money. Lord, I may not have the approval of my spouse, as I didn't. But I went anyway. I did what God wanted me to do. And I'm thankful to God. I'm thankful to God that I obeyed the voice and word of God, that I did what God wanted me to do, because now He's turning situations around for my glory. If I had waited for my family to come into alignment with God's will and what God wanted to do, I would have never gone forth. I would have never seen the glory of God. I would have never prophesied. I would have never spoke life. I would have never seen them healed. I would have never touched another person's life. But thank God that I was obedient to the voice and the word of God. And I thank God for Curry Blake, that he came and he showed me a new way. And at the same time, I've seen so many leave. I've seen so many leave their families. I've seen so many families destroyed. And Curry Blake has said, he's adamant about doing the will of God, doing the will of God over that trumps anything else anyone else would say. But let me tell you what else he said. He said, what good is it to gain the whole world, but yet lose your soul, but yet lose your family? And I know people that have lost family, that have lost their family, that have gone and they've lost their family. I know big time preachers that have lost family, that have lost loved ones, that have lost husbands, that have lost children. But let me tell you something. When you get this revelation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, and when He says to you, Maria, how can I be Lord over your family if I'm not Lord over you? Maria, how can I be Lord over your city if I'm not Lord over you? Maria, how can I be Lord over your nation if I'm not Lord over you? Maria, how can I be Lord over the nations if I'm not Lord over you? But when you receive this revelation, things become to come into alignment, and God's will, you're doing God's will, and you're plowing and planting. And yes, it looks like nobody's following you, but I'm telling you, you do the will of God. You speak to those mountains. You begin to declare under the voice and authority and the headship of Jesus Christ that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus rules over your family, that Jesus reigns over your family, that your family makes Him Lord, that your family begins to do the will of God, that your family sees the things of God, that your family is obedient to the voice and the word of God. And I'm telling you, things are going to change. Your family is going to change, and you're going to see a change. Don't quit speaking it. Don't quit prophesying it just because you don't see it happen right now. That is a seed. And when you plant a seed in the ground, that seed is small, and that seed needs to be watered, and that seed needs to grow. And that seed doesn't come out of the ground within the first couple of days that you plant that seed, but you have to continue to water that seed and water that seed with the water of the word. And you have to continue to speak to your family, and you have to continue to speak to those dead, dry bones, and you have to begin to declare under the spirit of prophecy, they shall live, they shall speak, the voice and the word of God shall come forth, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And you've got to begin to declare it, and you've got to begin to prophesy it, and you've got to begin to believe it, and you've got to begin to, and then you're going to begin to see it. You're going to begin to see things that you have never seen before. The power of your words. There is life and death in your words. And if you're speaking what you see, you're going to keep getting what you see. But you need to start speaking what God sees. And God sees a man of God under that man. God sees a child of God under that drug addict. God sees the voice of God under that person of God. And you are the voice of God. You bring change. You change atmospheres with your words, with your voice, with the spirit of prophecy And you begin to declare unto the principalities that they have to flee in Jesus' name. And you watch as they flee. You watch as it says the enemy may come one way, but he goes seven ways. He has to flee as stark terror at the sound of your voice, because you are the sound of God's voice. You are the sound of the rivers that are rising in this hour as sons of God rise from their slumber in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for life.